Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. If you don't, Happy Holidays. If you don't like holidays, Happy Winter in the Northern Hemisphere. We've got it all going on right now. Welcome back to the podcast. I am excited, just like I always am, to introduce a new interviewee. We are going to talk about self-love with Leisha, and I got Leisha's information from that podcastguest.com website. Still not sponsored by them, but great if you're looking to start a podcast and you're looking for guests. It's a great way to get a huge influx of ideas, people, contacts, etc. So Leisha is a licensed mental health therapist, author, and workshop facilitator. She's over 23 years of experience working with trauma and complex PTSD. And with her intuitive gifts, her education, and her experiences, she has been guiding people towards transformation, healing, and evolution. She's been integrating mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects of self to help folks experience a more robust healing journey that not only infuses self-empowerment, but also self-love and divine guidance. She wrote a book as well and is the author of Love What Hurts. And I am excited today to talk to her a little bit more in part one of this two-part episode about her thoughts on some missing books from the Bible, which is really interesting. Evolving versus growing. Of course, like with many other interviewees, we talk about her start with organized religion, which in this case was in a Pentecostal evangelical church, all the way to a Christian university, and then proceeding to agnostic beliefs. And that took her all the way through up until her pregnancy journey. And this was kind of a gateway to a new spiritual path for her. And so we talk a little bit about that. We talk about cranial sacral therapy or massage. I even get to talk a little bit about a kind of similar shared experience. And then we dig into what it really means to be an intuitive trauma therapist from her perspective and how that guides her invitation to healing specifically. We go in and talk about a little bit more about embodiment, which we have talked about before on the podcast, but from her perspective, it's a foundation for intuition. We talk about spiritual connection to nature, and then we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, which is about self-love. So we're going to just get to it. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. I am Rebecca, and today I am here with Leisha. Leisha, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you, Rebecca. My name is Leisha Song, and I am an intuitive trauma therapist here in Tacoma, Washington. And I've been doing this work with folks for over 23 years. And it's my heart and soul, and it feels like it's been my life's purpose and continues to be. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that you're working in your life's purpose. You don't always find people that are doing that. So I'm so happy for you.
Right.
Awesome. So before we get into the topic today of self-love and spirituality, I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask all of the interviewees on this podcast, and that is, what does spirituality mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think everyone probably has a slightly different answer to that question. That's my assumption. But I've just recently realized that there were several books left out of the final canonization of the Bible as we know it today.
Oh, interesting.
And one of, yeah, so they were supposed to be, this is what I've read, they were supposed to be destroyed. But a group of monks knew that they were important, so they hid them. And apparently, sometime in the late 18th, the late 19th century, they were discovered, I think somewhere in Egypt. And one of those books was the Book of Mary Magdalene, who was supposedly Jesus's first disciple, and possibly even a romantic partner or spouse, at that time. But her book describes the divine that lives within all of us, and that was the purpose of Jesus incarnating into who he was, on earth at the time. And just that alone is mind-blowing to me, that God does not exist outside of us, but is living within us and expresses itself through us as us. And that is what divinity, spirituality means to me. And that part of us, that divine part, always has our best interests at heart, leading us to end past life karmic cycles or toxic ancestral cycles. It's leading us to heal trauma, to grow, to evolve into forgiving ourselves, eventually loving ourselves, which ultimately leads to feeling and having empathy for others and being able to express compassion to others who are in pain, but maybe exhibiting that pain by hurting other people, hurt people, hurt people, right?
Totally.
So I believe Earth is like a school for every soul that has incarnated here. And part of the curriculum and the schooling is to heal, grow, and evolve, which isn't an easy path for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just on a tangent, really quickly, I love that you use the word evolve. I took a class yesterday. It had nothing to do, well, it was very spiritual for me, but it was a professional class, which like mind blowing. But at the end of the class, the last thing that I wrote in my notes was grow versus evolve. And I went home and I was like looking up the definitions. And now, based on that, and that's why I love that you use this word, I don't want to use the word growth opportunity or growing or growth mindset because evolve is like so much more complex. You know, it's like so much more comprehensive of what's going on. Like, I don't know, growth seems very like, I don't know, like a single line or siloed, or I don't know, it just is smaller. The concept of evolve is so much bigger, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for me, the word growth, maybe because it's been so overly used, it feels flat anymore.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Totally. That's so cool. I love that. I love that. Cool. So, first question really of the day then is, you seem like you have a pretty relatively knowledgeable connection with organized religion and you are very spiritual, and I got that through your book as well. So how did you get to where you are today spiritually?
So it all started around age 12, that junior high, middle school time in my life. And my best friend at the time, and we lived in the same apartment complex, and we had, four classes together. And yeah, she was my bestie. And we're still very, very close today. She's still one of my besties today. She invited me to her youth group with her. And I thought, sure, why not? It sounded like fun. There were some cute boys in the youth group, and it was very much a social scene for me, and probably for her too. And the spiritual part kind of came a little bit later as I got more acquainted with the church, and the people there were actually quite accepting, inviting, and quite loving. And this was a Pentecostal evangelical type of church. And I know that evangelical churches get a bad rap these days, and a lot of those churches deserve that bad rap. But my introduction to this particular church was quite loving and inviting. However, then I went to college, and I went to a Christian based college in Seattle, Seattle Pacific University. Lovely campus, wonderful school of religion, and I started taking classes about the Bible and how the Bible came to be, all the books and the authors of the Bible. And I realized, oh, there were through all those classes and research, there have been a lot of editing. There's been a lot of editing and manipulations to the Bible, and scribes were paid to change wording and all that stuff. So then I ended up at by the time I graduated college, I ended up kind of in this spiritually agnostic closet where I was like, well, now it just feels like I'm not sure if God exists or if Jesus was really the one and only begotten Son of God and the Messiah and da 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 da. I was in that agnostic closet, for probably a good 5 to 10 years. Just staying curious, opening up to philosophy, the ideas around Buddhism, around reincarnation, not doing a heavy dive necessarily into other organized religions, but kind of staying curious and open, but mostly agnostic until I started the journey around age 31 of trying to get pregnant.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't know if you want me to go into that
Yeah,
story.
let's do it. Why not? We're already there.
It's a fun story. It took me about a year to get pregnant, and right before I actually got pregnant, I had this dream one night. And in the dream, oh, let me put a pin in that for a second. When I was a child, my father had sexually abused me. And at this point in my life, at the age of 31, trying to get pregnant, and I had not spoken or seen him, spoken to him or seen him for a good 10 years. And I was at peace with that. And that was a very conscious decision. And I did a lot of therapy in my early 20s to resolve the childhood trauma. And I thought I was done, kaput, complete. But this dream told me otherwise. And in the dream, I went to go visit my dying father in the hospital. He wasn't actually dying at that point in his life. But in the dream, I was visiting him and he was dying in the hospital. And this version of me in the dream was definitely a higher version of me. It was not the human Leisha. And I presented him with a letter of forgiveness, love and forgiveness. And it wasn't the love of a daughter to her father, her dying father, but more from one soul to another. And the soul presenting forgiveness recognized the soul that was suffering as that soul was departing this life. And I woke up from that, and that's all that was to the dream. And I woke up from the dream with this knowing, this intuitive knowing that somehow my father is connected to this journey of trying to get pregnant, and I have to go see him. And to me, that dream, it got me out of the agnostically spiritual closet. To me, that dream was a direct message from the divine, from within. I just didn't
Seems
really,
pretty clear from your telling of the story, right? Like, not a lot of room for misinterpretation there.
And so I did that, and everyone around me was like, why would you do that? Why would you open up that can of worms? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, he's not going to hurt me. And I don't know why I'm doing this, but it feels like I have to do this. It's part of this journey of trying to get pregnant. I went to go visit him. My mother came with me. She insisted, and I allowed that. And it was only like a 20 or 30 minute visit. There wasn't a lot of insight gained, except the realization that he, in his late 70s at this point, I think he was 78, 79, he was still stuck in his childhood trauma, just talking about, just expressing his resentment toward his mother, who had abandoned him to a boys' orphanage when he was only 9 years old. No, he was 9 when his father passed away. He was 10 when his mother abandoned him. And in his experience of the boys' orphanage, he was sexually and physically abused.
That makes
So
sense.
he had a lot of his own childhood trauma, which he never addressed, never dealt with. And here he is, almost 80 years old, basically living in a medical rehab group home, so to speak, and still suffering, with his childhood traumas, never having dealt with it. But I still, I left that visit still not really understanding why I had to see him, and what how it was connected to my pregnancy journey. And then, ladies at work, women are so good at sharing resources, and they told me about this craniosacral therapist in town who gets all the ladies pregnant. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I also read something out of Dr. Christiane Northrup's book. She's a naturopath and used to be like 30 years an OBGYN. And she said in her book that most of her patients who had problems with their reproductive organs usually had history of some sort of sexual assault. And that was like mind-blowing for me to read because I had no idea at that time in my life that trauma could still be stored in our bodies. I had done all the psychological, mental, and emotional. I thought I had done all that healing, right? And I had done a lot of that healing, and I was under the impression I was done healing, which is definitely a false belief. So reading that was like, holy cow, is my body still hanging on to some of that trauma energy? So there was that, and then the craniosacral therapist. So I scheduled that appointment after seeing my father. And I didn't tell the therapist anything about my history, my abuse. I just told her, it's been a year. I've been trying to get pregnant this whole year, and nothing's happening. And then, if you've ever been to an energy healer, they tend to hover their hands over your body without touching it at first, just to sense what the energy's doing, where it's going. And she could sense that my left ovary was blocked. That's what she said. And so she's like, let's just unblock that. Like, no big deal, right? And so I was laying on her massage table, and I've been on many massage tables. This is the first and only time I've ever had a emotional cathartic experience where I'm just bawling tears and tears and tears. And finally, I actually hear my reproductive organs tell me, you can let go now, Alicia. We are safe. You are safe. You can let go. And I agreed to that. And 2 weeks later, I had a positive pregnancy test, and my son is about to turn 21. By the time this podcast is released, he'll be 21 years old. So to me, that was such a spiritual journey from the dream to visiting my father, to reading Christiane Northrup's book, to talking about it with ladies at work, going to the craniosacral therapist. This is a very intentional path that the divine goddess within me wanted me to take because I needed that other layer of healing.
Absolutely. And I for those that are listening, if you were tearing up, it's cool because I also was tearing up. That was definitely really emotional. And I think, Leisha, to your point, we just recorded an episode around emotions and emotion code and body code and the storage of trauma energy in general in your body. And I have had an interesting experience, kind of very similar, not exactly the same as yours, but I was sexually assaulted. I was raped when I was in my 20s, and I didn't know at the time, and I've done a bunch of meditation in the last couple of months around this, and it has come, I developed a polyp in that completely blocked one of my fallopian tubes and my ovaries. And so I had to have that removed, and I'm a relatively healthy person, and polyps are kind of weird. They're just growths, like
But at the same time, I did this meditation a couple of weeks ago, and it came to me that like this polyp, I have not had this my whole life, and that it developed after I had this encounter as sort of a physical protection mechanism in my body. And so it was like, you need this, like you need to protect yourself. And so I actually, I'm confident, even though of course no doctor is going to tell me otherwise, but very confident that this polyp was developed in that way. And so I've since had it removed and done some other meditation as well. We're trying to get pregnant, but really similar kind of thing. So it's very touching. It's very touching when, you know, we're, mm-hmm. we've had these kind of similar experiences. So
mm-hmm. yeah, that's beautiful.
I appreciate you sharing that. So with that, how did you get to be an intuitive trauma therapist, and what does that mean exactly?
Right. Yeah. It's trauma therapy with all my education, my trainings, my skill sets, but I add in very intentionally my own intuitive process. Although I have like a general framework about maybe how each session is going to go with a client, I always leave it up to the divine, you know, the divine within me, the divine within the client to direct those sessions. And most of the time, they go in a different direction than my human brain originally mapped out, right?
Totally.
And it could just be simple things like I get a message and I hear it auditorily that, you know, ask this question or talk about your experience with this. And I won't necessarily know why. And I've become comfortable enough to not have to second guess myself as much. And I just follow that intuitive message, like ask them this question or ask them about, you know, when they used to play volleyball or mm-hmm. when they used to, you know, do photography. And that would just, it wasn't necessarily dramatic. You know, intuition is very rarely dramatic.
Absolutely.
But it just, they would say things like, oh, that's really weird that you bring that up because da 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 da. And then it increases their trust in not just me, but the whole healing process, right? Like if I'm tapping into my intuition, then they feel safe to tap into theirs. And I invite them to very intentionally. Mm-hmm. And even before my workday starts, I meditate. I just spend some time in quiet and I put forth the intention of following the lead of the divine with each client. Like, show me where I need to go with this client. Show me what I need to bring up, what I need to talk about today. Yeah. So I
had this question, like your spirituality, your connection to the divine is very present and drives the way that you run your therapy sessions and the way that you treat your clients, it sounds like. So it's yes. really involved. And in your book, you talk a lot about intuition, and we've talked about intuition. Funny enough, we talked about it on the podcast about atheism, which was which was really interesting as sort of your intuition, right, is your subconscious noticing something and telling you something. And so there's the kind of intuition where you're seeing or you're getting something from your environment that you're not consciously aware of or paying attention to, but your body's kind of telling you. But then I think in your book, you talk a little bit more about like spiritual intuition or that sort of another level of intuition. Can you talk a little bit about how that presents itself for you or what that
right,
means?
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. You definitely want to feel embodied with any sort of intuitive process. It's really crucial to involve the body because I think that's where the truth lies. Because we can get caught up in our brains and our minds and all the beliefs, all the opinions, all the judgments, all the second guessing happens in our minds. But if that can just be quiet for a little bit, even if you just have to say like, okay, I recognize all these thoughts, but I'm just going to set you aside for right now. And I just want to drop into my body. And in the book, I do like offer an actual physical exercise where you can stand up, no shoes on, feet are flat on the floor, and you start asking yourself yes and no questions to just feel what yes feels like in your body, mm-hmm. or what no feels like in your body. Yep. So you definitely want to get the body involved. Another way that I get in touch with the spiritual intuition is by going out into nature. There's a word for this. I didn't know that, but I learned recently. I think it's called scrying. Okay. Where, yeah, I think it's an old Celtic word. But where you actually allowing yourself to communicate, you know, whether it's silently, it's probably going to be silently, but with nature, with the trees, with the river, right? Nice. Getting messages. So for example, I recently visited one of my favorite rivers. I've received a lot of spiritual messages from this river. And I just wanted to collect just a little tiny bottle of, you know, her water. And I was there just expressing my gratitude for how this, the river and the messages have really helped me to further heal. And she told me, and I kind of thought that was going to be like the last time I visit the river. And, you know, and then she told me, like, this won't be your last time. You'll come back and visit with me. And I agreed to that. Like, okay, that's great. You know, cool. And so I think nature is a very beautiful way of connecting with intuition, spiritual intuition like that. I love, and I totally have fun with pulling tarot and oracle cards, and I'm not in a traditional tarot reader's way. Instead of, you know, reading the little guidebooks that come with the deck, I just look at the artwork on the cards, and I allow the art to speak to me. Because I usually pose a question like, what's my message for today? Or what do I need to know about this meeting that's coming up? Or what do I need to know about this client?
Nice.
So, and the cards, you know, the artwork, art really ignites that subconscious part of us, right? But I believe the subconscious or the unconscious is our spirit. It is the divine.
It's one and the same. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's how I see it. So, so the cards act like a witness to whatever I'm going through in life, to the questions that I have, or the, you know, the stressors that I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
The cards are like this loving witness, you know?
Yeah, totally. So you've mentioned a little bit already, and I think we'll kind of switch into the book and self-love. So the book is called Love What Hurts, and it's got beautiful cover art, by the way. If I was judging a book by the cover, I would judge this one in a positive way. It's got lots of colors, and it's really pretty. It's really pretty to look at. But yeah. But so what is self-love? How do you define self-love?
Great question. And I have a really short definition of it. Self-love. So let's just put away Valentine's Day and romantic love. Those are the feelings of love, right? But actual self-love is accepting all of who you are, flaws and imperfections included. The wounded parts of us, the parts of us that we're embarrassed by or ashamed of. If we accept all these parts of us, that is unconditional love.
So that includes, what is the word that I'm looking for? That includes something to do with grace, right? Self-love and grace go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Grace. Yes. Being tender with those parts of us that feel more vulnerable and wounded.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody, that is a wrap for today. We are going to wrap up with part two of Leisha's episode next week, which will technically be in the new year, which is pretty exciting. So the first episode of the new year. I just spent a bunch of time updating things for the merch. If you're interested in any merch, go check it out. The website's all updated. And with that, I hope everybody has a wonderful end of 2024. See you next week.
Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality what? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.